Let's pray before we get into the Word here. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your Word. Thank you for this time to be able to gather together and the blessings that are available to us. Please help all of us open up and receive those today. And let everything bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for this beautiful day. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's get right into it here. It reads, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, anytime you see the word "therefore," you can look at it as being "for that reason." It's what "therefore" means. If you translate it, it's "for that reason." So it starts out, "for that reason we have this." So you've got to ask yourself, what reason are they talking about? You got to also remember that the chapter divisions and verse divisions were added quite some time after all this was written. So originally there wasn't a chapter break here. So in order to get clarity of this verse, you need to read what was prior to that, which we studied last week. We can pick it right up with verse 18 will be enough to tie this in together. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, to let all this flow together, we start there. It reads, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Like we finished up last week talking about how we as Christians need to be an image of Jesus Christ. When people look at us, they need to be able to see the Lord in our lives and everything that we do, and the way we act, and the way that we talk, and the way we treat others. That transparency, because when we look upon the Lord, when we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, and we receive the Holy Ghost, then we see clearly the Lord and all of His glory. The world cannot see that, but we as Christians can. And we need to be that image to the world. And as it goes right into the next chapter here, chapter 4 and verse 1, reads, "Therefore," or "for that reason, seeing that we have this ministry," and ministry is job or duty or task that's set before us to do, "as we have received mercy, we faint not or fail not or don't fall away or don't cease." So we need to continuously be at the work that the Lord has given us, and that work is being the image of God to others, so that when they look at us, look at our lives, they see Jesus Christ in everything that we do. We got to remember that all the time, everywhere we're at, every single day, at home, at work, at school, wherever. We need to be conscious that when people look at us, they should be seeing Christ in us. They shouldn't just be seeing us as an individual, but they should be seeing Christ. That our lives should be so transparent that they see through us and see Jesus Christ just coming out of us. Okay, verse 2, it says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Not being deceiving people, not being a Christian just on Sunday, not being a Christian just because there's some way you think you're going to profit from it. We got to be sincere in what we're doing. And that will show through. People will see that. If we are not sincere, if we are just a hypocrite, they're going to see that. They're going to know that. They're going to recognize that. So we have to walk in the way that we're supposed to, and that is as Christ would. Continuing in verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We've got to remember this term here in verse 4, "in whom the God of this world," the God of this world, if you notice in your Bibles, the word God there is not capitalized. That's speaking of Satan. Satan is the God of this world being the sinful world that we live in. That's what he's referring to here. And Satan has blinded the lost, blinded them in a way that they do not clearly see the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They do not clearly see it. Their eyes have not been opened to that. They've got this bag over their head that we've talked about so much. And it's so clear when you're talking to somebody who is into that so much. They've got that bag over their head and they're enjoying that bag over their head. They like to be blinded to the truth. Because if they see the truth, they see that you are accountable. And that is the main thing that you can always look at in people's lives. People that want to deny the existence of God, want to turn down Jesus Christ, want to say that it doesn't exist, that it's not true, that it isn't real. The primary motivation for that is they want to be able to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and not be accountable for it. That there not be a judgment. That's the key thing. That's why you see all this stupid junk science where they're trying to convince our children that evolution exists and the billions of years and that you are your own person and that all paths lead to righteousness and that all gods are the same and that we all worship the same God. All these lies of Satan are to keep people blinded so that they cannot see the truth and the truth that will show that they are accountable for their actions and they are sinful people and have to yield to the will of the Lord, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, get that washed away and get saved. People like to be in their sins, and in order to stay in their sins and still feel good about it, they've got to convince themselves that God doesn't exist. And that's what it's all about. And the God of this world, Satan, has got them blinded to the truth that's right there in front of their face. Let's read verse 4 again. Well, let's go back up to 3 here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Let's break this one down here a little bit too. Verse 5 here says, for we preach not ourselves. That's critical. You see some of these religions that have built up, that have lifted them, built up by people who have lifted themselves up as being something to worship. That's real clear that that's false religion. I mean, if they have lifted themselves up, that they have authority over you, that they have some kind of a rule or control over you. That's run the other way. God is our authority. It says right here, the Lord. This is Jesus, the Lord. Lord means supreme authority. He is the only one that we yield authority to. Jesus Christ is the authority in our lives. Not no man on this planet. Jesus Christ is our authority. And anybody who starts putting themselves in a position that they have authority over others, you got to look the other way because they are going down the wrong path. I mean, that's one really big sign there. And then, of course, all the other false religions with all their different intricacies and different ways that they worship idols and so forth. There's so many different ones out there. But this one he's speaking of is themselves. They have the opportunity, the way they were going around preaching and teaching in their ministry, missionaries, that they could have gotten people to start worshiping them, to looking up at them as something special, to looking up at them as something equal to Jesus Christ even. And yet they did not do that. They emphasized the fact it's not us. It's Jesus Christ that's working through us. We are just servants to you. Like he says right here, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The best spiritual leader on this planet, best man that is a spiritual leader on this planet, is someone who yields to Jesus Christ, does not point it at himself, is a servant leader. You lead people by serving them. You lead them by giving them examples in your own lives. You lead them by giving them information. You lead them by being a conduit of the information that God is using you as a mouthpiece to spread to your congregation or to your family or to your friends or to just a couple of people that you might have association with. This can go and apply at all levels. And it's critical that it always go back to it's the Lord that's working through us. We are servants of the Lord. We are nothing special. It's not of ourselves. Like I've said so many times when I preach, it's not the gospel according to Rick Brown. It's the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And that's what's important. It's Jesus Christ always. Okay, verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Goes all the way back to creation here. Day one, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, where there was nothing, out of darkness. This can also be applied in a spiritual sense here. The light being the goodness and the darkness being the evil. That God brought that out, let that shine out in our hearts. Because when He came into us, then that light can shine to others. It says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That knowledge just right out of us into the others. Flows through us, servants, to others. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Over and over he emphasizes the fact, it's not us. We are nothing special. We are servants of the Lord. And that earthen vessel, this body that we have, is able to be a conduit, there again, a pathway, a vessel, a container that the Lord can dwell in and shine that light to others. Verse 8 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." The dying, the physical side of it, the life, the everlasting life. Even though we are here on this planet, in this earthen vessel that is dying, just as Jesus Christ died and was crucified and raised the third day and ascended to the Father, lives forever. We have that physical body that will die, that is decaying, that is capable of being tortured, abused, and persecuted. But yet in us is that life of Jesus Christ that shines out. That's what he's speaking of here. It says, continuing in verse 11, it says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." That our physical lives that are dying, that are decaying, that are being tortured by people, persecuted by people, even put to death by people, still has that life that is the life of Jesus Christ that is manifest in us. If we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us, and that life is everlasting, and it shines out of us, no matter what happens to this physical decaying body that is dying. In verse 12, it says, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Now this is going back to specifically what's happening to him in relations to the children of the Christians here, I should say, in Corinth that he's speaking of, where he says, "So then death worketh in us." He's speaking of him and the other apostles and so forth. "But life in you," this life is because they have given their lives, their physical lives, devoted to serving the Lord, given their lives completely. I mean, Paul eventually winds up being beheaded for being a Christian. That there is life in you, life in the children there, life in the Christians there in Corinth, that life being their salvation. As a result of him and others giving their lives for the service of Jesus Christ, others have gotten salvation because they've spread the gospel. They've donated their lives. They've given their lives over to the Lord. And their physical lives have been spent so that others can receive spiritual life. And that's what he's referring to here. Verse 13, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with Him." This resurrection. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, up out of that tomb. Spent 40 days seen of over 500 folks and ascended to the Father and is there now on the right hand side of the Father sitting there. waiting for that time of the rapture. And that rapture is when we will be raised up. We, which are alive and remain at the time, will be caught up, like we read in Thessalonians, to be with the Lord. Those that are dead already will come back in spirit and receive their glorified bodies. We will all be raised on that day of the rapture that it speaks of in Thessalonians, and of course the other references we used before in Corinthians and so forth, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye and so forth, that receiving of that glorified body. That's what he's speaking of here, that we will be raised up just like Jesus Christ was raised up. We will be like him for eternity. And we know Jesus gave us that example of how it occurred with him. We saw that. They saw that. Some over 500 folks saw that and witnessed him going up into heaven. And we will also. That's what he's talking about. Verse 15. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. And it reads, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." All right. This word redound, an old English word that we don't use much anymore, it means to fill with overflowing abundance, that it just overflows to others all around us. So let's read that again. It says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Be overflowing, and that everything that we do overflows to those that are around us. I mean, he speaks of that in so many different ways. He applies that, that our lives as Christians need to shine out to others, that it needs to just be this overflowing grace that comes from God through Jesus Christ into us with by way of the Holy Ghost and out of us in this clear glass like it speaks of, and shines to all those around us. It's like we spoke of before about running into somebody in a grocery store or in a park or wherever. And do you avoid them? Do you go the other way because you don't want to be around them because they're just so negative and they just bring you down and it's all this doom and gloom and negative? Or are they so bright and overflowing with the graces of God that it's a pleasure to run into them out in the world? It's a pleasure to meet them somewhere and spend just a few moments with them, that you go away with your spirit lifted up because you had an opportunity to be with that person for a little while. You need to be that kind of person that all the time when people get around you, they walk away from you feeling great, that they're really glad they run into you that day. And that comes from God through us. And that's what he's talking about, that we need to do all the time, every day, everywhere we're at, in our homes. I know it's hard. It's hard for us to do that. We're battling so many things. We're battling the flesh within ourselves. We're battling emotions. We're battling hunger in some people, distress, physical wears and tears on us. There's so many things that we endure every single day that can really bring us down and makes it hard for us as physical people to just go around and being happy and smiling all the time and making other people feel good. It's exhausting. It's hard work. But we got to remember, it's not us that is doing what needs to be done here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that can work through us. Even if we are weary in our physical body, that we need to be so transparent in even our ails and our woes that still the Lord is be able to shine through and show others his grace through us. And that's what he's speaking of. About that redound to the glory of God, that everything brings honor and glory to God. Everywhere we go, everything we do. Continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it reads, "For which cause we faint not." Don't fail, don't stop, continue. It says, "But though our outward man perish," like we were speaking of, we might be diminishing physically, mentally, we're just wearing out, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Even though our physical bodies is decaying constantly, that spiritual life that we have within us should be growing even stronger and stronger every day. The closer we get to the grave, the more diminished we feel physically, the stronger we ought to be spiritually. That more and more the light of Jesus Christ shines out of us. The older we get as Christians, the more that influence should shine out into others around us. That day by day, it just comes out of us more and more. Let's read that one again. That's awesome. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, this physical body, perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, what we endure physically, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What we can accomplish here while we're on earth in this physical body, even if it's temporary, is going to be outweighed so much more by what we will receive for eternity, that everlasting life. And we need to know that everywhere that we go, all the influences we have is going to help someone else have that as well, that someone else can receive that salvation, so that for eternity they can feel all the glorious things that God has in plan for us. Verse 18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen here on this planet, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," or temporary, "but the things which are not seen are eternal." Like we were speaking there. This physical world that we live in is temporary. Everything that you see on this planet, everything that is here, is going to be wiped away, gone, melted away. To this very elements will be melted away with a fervent heat, as it speaks of in Peter and several other places throughout the Scriptures. That this earth is going to be gone. It's going to be melted away into nothing. He's going to build a brand new earth for us that we will be able to live for eternity with the Lord and have that glorified body and be able to spend that time with Jesus Christ in paradise forever. And that's way beyond what we can imagine. You just think of anything in your life that was a great experience for you and multiply that by a billion times, and you're still not going to come close to the kind of glory and happiness and for eternity that we're going to be able to have simply by spending some of our time here on this planet serving the Lord. I mean, it's such a small price. It's awesome. Okay, let's get right into chapter 5 here. We've got a few more minutes. We can get into this. It flows right into it. And continuing in chapter 5 here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house," this earthly house being our body, "of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Eternal. There's another reference to being dissolved. Everything's going to be dissolved. In verse 2, it says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Especially all of us that have aches and pains. When you're walking around, your hips hurt. And when you're walking around, your feet are hurting. When you get up, you got this pounding headache. Whatever it may be, that just makes you that much more appreciative. When you're thinking for eternity, you're going to have a glorified body that's not going to have those aches and pains. You're not going to have these physical woes. It should motivate you when you wake up in the morning and you feel aches and pains. You say, "Thank you, Lord, because I know for eternity I'm not going to have this ache and this pain." You know, if you every day you woke up and you felt just wonderful and great and no physical ailments whatsoever, you might not even think about that everlasting life with that special glorified, transformed body that's going to be like Jesus Christ. You might not even think about that if you don't have a few aches and pains to remind you about this alien physical body that we have now. But even though we groan and moan and complain about the body we have now, know that for eternity we're going to have a glorified body that's not going to have aches and pains. It's going to be like Jesus Christ and way beyond what we can comprehend. We don't even understand. They haven't given us a detailed description of that in the Scriptures, most likely because even if it was in here, we wouldn't be able to understand what it was saying anyway, because it's going to be so great. Because we couldn't relate to it. Because the only thing we can relate to is this decaying physical body that aches and pains and has all these problems. And we desire to have that body that is to come, you know, that eternal life. Continuing in verse 3 here, it says, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's not that we just want to shed this body. It's we want to shed this body and receive the glory of God on us, that righteousness, clothed in that righteousness. Verse 5 says, "Now, he that hath wrought us," or worked with us, "for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit." This word earnest means a down payment on a contract or an agreement. An earnest, like when you're buying a house, you pay a down payment on it, or buy a car, that shows a commitment of payment to come. I'm just going to give you a little bit now, and I'm going to give you a whole lot of it later. That's the same thing here. Receiving of the Holy Ghost is that earnest payment. And that is so awesome when we receive that. And that is just a tiny little down payment. Receiving Him into our life is a down payment for what we're going to receive for eternity. You get saved, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into you instantly. It's not a process that comes along later. That is the down payment. You receive instantly when you get saved. And that Holy Ghost will work with you and bring you along, gives you the understanding of the Scriptures, gives you the vision to understand what is truth, what is not truth, lets you understand things that are out there in the world that are lies, gives you that clarity, that conduit between you, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, completes that circle. And that is that earnest down payment that he speaks of there. And that's what he's talking about. Let's read 5 again. It says, "Now he that hath wrought us," or worked with us, "for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." He has given us that down payment. It doesn't say if you do a certain thing and go through these rituals and say a certain prayer and 3 or 4 of us lay our hands on you, then you might receive that earnest down payment, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. No, that's ridiculous. That's somebody made up that junk and it's stuck. It doesn't work like that. You receive the Holy Ghost when you get saved, and that's what he's talking about. Heard the bell. We're out of time. Let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus, Father, thank you so much for your word, the things that are in here, the clarity that can come when we turn to you and ask for your guidance and give us the understanding when we get into your word so that we can overcome all these false teachings of the past and prepare us for the things that are now and the things that are to come. Lead, guide, and direct everything throughout the day. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.